Well, we're wrapping up a third part in this series called All In. We've started at the beginning of the year, and it's been a great series. And Pastor Tim asked me to close out this part on worship, this series on worship. And so I'm honored to do that with you this morning. My name is John, and I'm the worship pastor at Meadowbrook, and grateful to do that and on a weekly basis to worship with you guys. But what we've been talking about is how do we worship God? Why do we worship God? And kind of what are the foundations of worship? If you've missed any part of the series, you can go back and watch online through YouTube or the Meadowbrook app. It's all free, and you can get caught up. But really what we've been saying is that each one of us, every single follower of Jesus, is called to be a worshiper. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would just kind of establish us in this reality today as we finish up, that the greatest call, the greatest calling, the greatest thing that we can do with our life is to bring glory to Jesus and to worship and honor him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's get into the word today. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers," and we would include in that also sisters, "by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, maybe you've heard that scripture before, or maybe you're new to church and you're hearing it for the first time, but the first people to ever hear that verse would have been the church in Rome, and hence the book of Romans. And so Paul's writing to the church in Rome, which was actually started, it's believed to be started by Jewish people who had traveled to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2. And if you remember the story, the disciples were meeting in the upper room. Jesus told them to go and wait. All right, that's the word of the day today. He told them to go and wait, and that you wait, and then my Holy Spirit will come, and you'll be endued with power from on high. And so that's what happened. They were waiting, they were praying, they were together. And I want to just emphasize, they were together. So props to you for being together this morning. And they were together, and the Holy Spirit of God was poured out on the early church. And those Jews that had traveled to Jerusalem, they thought they were coming just for a traditional celebration of that the Jews celebrated, the day of Pentecost. But they were surprised when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They had a revelation of Jesus, and they actually got saved. It says that about 2,000 people got saved that day. And so those Jews got saved, and then they went back to their hometown in Rome. Sounds like a great place to live. I would love to live in Rome. But they go back to Rome, and they start the church in Rome. And they're trying to figure out, how do I be a Christian? I've been Jewish my whole life, but now I'm called to follow Jesus. And so it started out Jewish, and then Gentiles started to be added in. And so Gentiles are non-Jewish people. So you had your Greeks, your Romans, all kinds of people in that area. They started to get saved too, and they joined the church. And so you had Jews and you had Gentiles. And so I say all that to say this, that the Apostle Paul is writing to kind of two different groups of people. You had the Jews who had grown up kind of in church. They knew all the rituals, the laws, the traditions, almost to a point where they forgot the heart of it all. And he's calling them into this new way of life in Christ. And then you had the Gentiles who, if you know anything about the world at that time, Rome and Greece, like, y'all, it was messed up. Like, if anybody, like, is anybody like a history major in here? Do we have any history majors? Yeah, okay, awesome. I love my history. Like, if you just go back and read the history of Greece and Rome, like, it was crazy. Like, y'all think America's crazy? Greece and Rome was messed up. And so you had these Gentiles who were getting saved, but they were coming out of this really wicked society. And so they were trying to figure out how to be a Christian. And so you had the Jews really religious, the Gentiles, and Paul's like trying to bring the Jews from here over to here and the Gentiles from here over to here. Maybe like some of you today, maybe you're new to Christ and you're just trying to figure out this faith, and you're like, wait, why can't we do that? You're like, wait, I'm not allowed to do that anymore. And so Paul is kind of writing to the Gentiles in that way. So let's look at this. He says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so that language would have actually been really familiar to the Jews, because every day they would go and they would worship in the temple, and they would offer sacrifices, and oftentimes there would be animal sacrifices. We're not really familiar with that here in the U.S. too much, but they would offer animals as a sacrifice, and they would actually kill the animals, and it was a sacrifice for sin. And so it would atone for the sin. It would be atonement for their sin, and the animal would ultimately die, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's what the wages of sin is. And so they would offer these animal sacrifices. But Paul, he's saying, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So now in the new covenant, now that Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, has come, he was the perfect sacrifice that was slain for the sin of the world once and for all. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so he was slain for our sins. And so now we no longer have to offer animal sacrifices, but instead Paul's saying, offer your body as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. I love the way that one of these commentaries puts a living sacrifice. It kind of describes it in this way. It'll be up on the screen. It says, in glorious contrast to the legal sacrifices, which, save as they were slain, were no sacrifices at all, the death of the one Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world, has swept all dead victims from the altar of God to make room for the redeemed themselves. Amen. As a living sacrifice. To him who made him to be sin for us, that's Jesus, while every outgoing of their grateful hearts in praise, just like we've done this morning, and every act prompted by the love of Christ, is itself a sacrifice to God of a sweet and smelling savor. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So we now get to be living sacrifices. Notice he said, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies. Last week, Pastor Tim talked about this picture of mercy being somebody that has everything, reaching out a hand to somebody that has nothing, and they don't even deserve it. But yet, that person that has everything reaches out their hand to the person who has nothing. And that is what God has done for us. Amen. Through Jesus. Yes. Has God been merciful? Yes. To anybody in the room today? Amen. Amen. Me too. And so as I gaze upon the mercy of Jesus, then it results in worship. And Paul's saying, don't stop worshiping. Like, don't just stop worshiping there. Keep on worshiping. Offer your body, your actual whole self, as a living sacrifice every single day, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Another translation says it's your true and proper worship. And then the King James Version, for all my King James people, says that you should offer your bodies, and it says it's your reasonable service to God. So instead of worship, it says service. And oftentimes in Scripture, you'll see that worship and service kind of go together. They're one and the same. So we worship, we serve. Jesus said in Luke 4:7, you shall worship the Lord your God with your whole heart, right? And he says, only him shall you serve. So he says, you'll worship and you serve. So when you put your faith in Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit doesn't take breaks. Right? Even though, like, maybe we might like him to sometime. Like, I was driving yesterday. I'm telling you, when you're coming to preach the word of God, the devil, like, he's trying to trip you up all the time. And, like, I thought I was good. And then I was driving in Ocala traffic yesterday on my way home. And my wife didn't even know what was going on, right? She was like, the kids were kind of fussing in the back, so she's taking care of them. But she doesn't know that she hadn't known that a truck had come in front of me, and they were not nice. They did something to me that was not nice. So I'm like kind of flooring the gas a little bit, like speeding up. She has no idea what's going on. And I'm like, I can already feel my soul starting to crumble. And I'm like, I was so mad. I was so angry. And so they sped off and went away. We went to our house, and there I am in my driveway the night before I'm ready to preach. And I'm like, Lord, I pray that you bless that person. I pray that they come to know you. I know they know not what they do. But why am I telling this story? I don't even know why. I have to go back. We wish the Holy Spirit would take breaks. We wish the Holy Spirit would take breaks. So sometimes we wish he would, but his work, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to actually work on you to make you pleasing and holy to God. That's part of the Holy Spirit's work. I love country music. So don't stop judging me for all you guys. I like country music. I listen to country music when I go to the beach. It's enjoyable. You know, it kind of gets you in the mood for being outside. So those that are judging me, now those of you that like country music, now you guys don't judge me because I'm about to switch gears a little bit. All right, so country music has some interesting theology. Like, we should not get our theology from country music or really anything that we hear on the radio. We got to be careful we don't let that kind of infiltrate our theology. Because, like, let's just be real. I'm just kind of making this up. But some songs, they'll be like, Friday night, I don't remember anything. And Sunday morning, I love to hear that choir singing. It's like, whoa, 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 hold up. A fruit of the Spirit is self-control, right? And he's with you on Friday nights too, all right? So I still love country music, but let's just clear up our theology a little bit. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Look at this. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's why every second Sunday, usually, we have water baptisms. We do this because if you put your faith in Christ, then through baptism, you are identifying with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's not just symbolic. It is a spiritual reality. Amen. God wants to actually give you a new life in Christ. And so Romans chapter 6, verse 12, we'll jump ahead. It says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present, okay, there's that word again, present. So in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. But here he says, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but you're under grace. My wife and I, we went to a wedding last week. It was a beautiful wedding out in Lake Wales. And this young couple was getting married. And, you know, if you've ever been to a wedding, they exchange vows and exchange rings. And it's a beautiful thing. And they enter into this covenant. And so now that this young couple that are friends of ours, they've entered into this covenant and they've, you know, declared their love for each other in front of everybody, you know, they no longer have to keep loving each other and serving each other and honoring each other. And no, that's ridiculous, right? But sometimes in our relationship with Jesus, we have this moment of covenant with him, and then we kind of check out for the rest of the week. And Paul is saying, no, you're missing the point. You have not been set free from worship. You've been set free from the burden of the law and sin, but you have not been set free from worship. Now you get to worship God even more.
Amen.
You get to fellowship with God and worship him even more, not just within the four walls of the temple, but now you are the temple of God. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Let's jump over to chapter 10, verse 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in everything that we do, in everything that we do, we can bring honor and glory to God. I love this passage. It's from an article written on worship by a seminary student named Scott Brown. It says, when we're taking out the trash, we can be praising God for his goodness. When we're writing another email to the same person, explaining the same idea for the fourth time, we can thank God for giving us a job. While we're having a meeting with our boss, we can honor God in how we choose to respond. This is worshiping God too. Our everyday work becomes sacred work when it's done to honor God and love our neighbor. And when we invite God into our work by thanking him and praising him or seeking to bring him glory, we can experience a powerful transformation in our workplace and in our attitude. I think if we were going to sum up the last 3 weeks of this series on worship, you could say that worship is an attitude that recognizes the greatness of God. He is worthy. And it causes us to bow or respond both inwardly first and also outwardly. You see, worship, it usually directly adores the Lord Jesus. But to live a lifestyle of worship, you can directly adore Jesus, but you can also indirectly adore Jesus by the way that you treat other people, by the way that you work, by your attitude, by choosing to praise God as a husband, a wife, a parent, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a barber or hairdresser. Whatever you do, a stay-at-home mom or dad, whatever you do, you can glorify God in the way that you do things. So how does this look practically? It usually doesn't look like what the rest of the world is doing, right? When we look at the way that the world runs, the way the world works, usually to honor God, you kind of have to do the opposite, right? Paul says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. He says, in what I read, it says conform to this world, but in other translations, it says to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know that you don't have to sign up for anything to be conformed to this world? Like, there's no mailing list that you have to sign up for. Like, you will be conformed to this world unless you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wish you could unsubscribe. Like, I'm 15 years into this relationship with Jesus, and yet still, I find myself being tempted to be conformed to this world. There's so many different ways to do that. But Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So think about it. All the ways that we can be conformed to this world, you know, the way that we talk to people, the value that we place on worry and anxiety, and the high levels of alcohol consumption or food consumption or anything consumption, the things that we watch. Did you know that 57% of young adults, statistically, 57% of young adults are looking at pornography at least once a month or more? 57%. That is wild. That is a pattern that needs transforming. Amen. You see, there's more patterns in this world than on your grandma's wallpaper. And it is time to renovate your mind, not your grandma's house, okay? It's not gonna, how many of y'all know, it's not gonna change. However it looked 20 years ago, it's going to look the same. But your mind has to change. It has to. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, is we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I've known my wife for over 10 years now, and so because I've gotten to know her and learn her and understand her, well, maybe not understand her. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. But because I've gotten to know her more, I've gotten to know what pleases her, right? So, like, I know that if she comes home from something, I'm not going to hide and jump out and scare her. She would hate that, right? Or I'll give you another example. If her friends came to me and said, John, we want to celebrate Greta's birthday. We're going to take her out to dinner. You know, we're torn between the Mexican restaurant and we're torn between the barbecue restaurant. Then I'm going to say, vamos a tener una fiesta, because I know my wife. I've gotten to know her. I know that she likes Mexican way more than she likes barbecue. And so because I've gotten to know her, I can test what's going to be pleasing to her or not. So the more time that we spend with God, the more time in His Word that we spend, the more time in prayer that we spend, the more time worshiping Him, our mind is going to begin to be transformed. And when that happens, then when situations arise in our lives, then we can test, okay, God, is this pleasing to you? Like, is what I'm doing today pleasing to you? Is the way that I responded pleasing to you? And so the more we get to know the Lord, the greater we'll be able to test what is pleasing to Him. Amen. There's a pretty intense passage of scripture in the book of Amos. And the people of Israel, they were not glorifying God with their lives. And yet they were still showing up together, celebrating, kind of acting like nothing was off course. And the prophet Amos, he comes to them with a word from the Lord. And this is what the Lord says in Amos chapter 5. He says, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. In the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, yikes, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You see, you cannot bow your heart to God in worship without bowing the rest of your life to Him. If I'm being honest, there's been seasons of my life where I showed up on Sundays for the feast, and I just made a lot of noise. But I'm so thankful for the precious Holy Spirit of God, who would not leave me there, but rather drew me in and caused me to realize I needed to be transformed. Amen. By the renewing of my mind. He brought me into a greater place of fellowship with God so that I could live as a living sacrifice to Him. Amen. Amen. So that may have been an intimidating scripture to you, but please hear this good news today, that God doesn't just want to give you a song to sing. He wants to give you a life to live, and it is an abundant life. And it was a life that was paid for by the blood of Jesus. And you cannot earn it, my friend, but by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can live it. Yes, you can. Amen. When I was in middle school, I got this Casting Crown CD. You guys remember CDs? I feel like Pastor Tim always is like, you guys remember tapes? I'm like, you guys remember CDs? Man, you had your CD case and you had all your CDs, and I got a Casting Crown CD. So while all you cool kids were listening to NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, I was bumping that Casting Crowns record. I just want to say that out of those three bands, you know the only band that's still together today is Casting Crowns. Just throwing that out there. So But seriously, I love Casting Crowns, and they came out with a CD when I was a teenager. It was called Life Song. And I believe that it really captures the heart of what we're talking about here today. And I got the lyrics up on the screen. I just wanted to read through some of these lyrics. It says, empty hands held high, such small sacrifice, if not joined with my life. I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things that I do make my life song sing and bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Lord, let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you. Isn't that awesome? I love that. I'm not a big props person. Props and illustrations person, but in praying about this message today, I really kind of felt like I got this picture to really kind of demonstrate what this looks like as a life of worship to the Lord, and so I'm going to do my best to demonstrate it. All right, as you can see here, this is a guitar, all right, Music 101. So this is a guitar, and want this to represent you as an instrument. You know, earlier today we sang, I am an instrument of exaltation. I was born to lift the name above all names. In Romans, we read that we are to present ourselves as instruments of righteousness, right? Holy and pleasing to God. And so just use your imagination with me today that you're an instrument. Now we're all together here on Sunday, right? So we gather together to worship, but I want these strings to represent the rest of your life. So these are going to represent the rest of the days of your life. So you got Monday, you got me up, Mike, am I good out there? You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all right? Now, guitar strings, you see, they conform to the temperature of the room, if it's too cold, if it's too hot. There's other varying factors like oil from the fingers. Like they're eventually, over time, they're going to conform. And unless you're tone deaf, you can hear that that's not really a beautiful sound. And God loves tone deaf people too, all right? I don't want anybody. There's no shame. This is not a house of condemnation, all right? But I just want for a minute to kind of imagine with me. So my hand, for the sake of the illustration, my hand is going to be the Holy Spirit. And this up here is a tuner. So this little black thing is a tuner. So I can kind of see where I'm at tuning-wise. And we're going to let that represent the Word of God. It's the Word of God, right? And so let's just pretend like we're on Monday. So here's Monday. You had such a good time in church today that Monday morning you're a little bit sad on your way to work. And you have a bad attitude. And you decide, you know what, I'm going to turn on, instead of listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd today, I'm going to turn on some worship music. And that song comes on, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And as you begin to sing that and listen to that, your mind begins to be transformed and the joy of the Lord rises up in your heart. And then you can start thanking God and praising God for this day. And so as you do that, you know, you're kind of getting back in tune. No, I'm going the wrong way. Wrong way. We do that sometimes. That's when you take scripture out of context. Oh, Lord, I knew this had potential to go bad. Hey, Dakota, give me an E. Give me an E. E? You guys are so patient. Thank you. We worked this into the time, so it's all good. All right, we're back in tune. All right, you're back in tune now. It's Monday, and you're back in tune. Mondays take longer. Y'all know Mondays take longer, right? All right, here we go. Tuesday, you're scrolling through Instagram or Facebook, and you see that amazing vacation that your friends took. And that jealousy just kind of starts to rise up within you. You think, God, I know I'm a better Christian than them. I know I'm a better Christian than them, and they just took that fancy vacation, and that jealousy starts to rise up. But you decided to spend your first 15 minutes of the day in the Word of God, and you read in 1 Timothy 6:6 where it says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And so you're able to start thanking God for everything that he's done for you, and you can have a heart of thanks on Tuesday. And so you move on in your week. Wednesday, if you are a high school student, then you know what, on Wednesdays, every Wednesday we have an amazing youth group here on Wednesday nights, and they get to worship the Lord and hear words. So on Wednesday for you high school students, you get to worship God on Wednesdays. It's pretty awesome. On Thursday, you decide that you and your wife or you and your husband are going to make an extra meal. And you're going to take it down the road to that single mom or that single dad that has a bunch of kids. And you know that that's going to be such a blessing to them because they don't have to worry about making dinner that night. And guys, that's a beautiful sound. That is a beautiful sound to the Lord. And so maybe you do that on Thursday. And then, Friday. Woo, Friday night. How many of y'all know the devil stays up late on Friday night? So Friday night, you get that text from that friend, that guy, that girl, and it's just not a good situation. It's not a good situation, and you know, we all have our own temptations. There's nothing new under the sun, but you read in the Word in James 4:6 that where it says to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so you're able to text back so quick. You say, I'm sorry, I've got other plans tonight. You might not even know what those plans are, but guess what? God has good plans for you, and so you'll figure out what those plans are. Amen? All right. And then Saturday, you decide that you're going to wake up a little earlier and go down to the local food bank where you help serve people that otherwise would not have a meal. And Jesus says if you do that, it's like doing it for him. And so that's on Saturday. And so, okay, here we go. Sounds a little bit better, right? So, as the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, as you're spending time with him, and as you are reading God's word, your mind is beginning to be transformed. And slowly but surely, all of your days, not just Sundays, but all of your days begin to sound a little bit like one song. And it sounds a little bit better. It sounds, you know, it might start off quiet, but God's working in you. Might be a little bit out of tune, but the Holy Spirit is working in you. And before you know it, your life is singing a song, and God can hear it, and it's pleasing to him, and the world can hear it. And it might sound just a little bit of something like this. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Thank you. Father, we thank you. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our life. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who laid down his life so that we could pick up our life and live it for you, Jesus. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that where each and every one of us is, Lord, that you would just bring us closer to you this morning. Lord, let our lives be pleasing and holy to you. Let our life song sing to you.